Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Stitch Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show, I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Once again, this is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. It is October 4th, 2018, and we have an extravaganza for you here today. I am so excited to talk about what we got going on here. This is a big, big weekend of mixed martial arts, big weekend here for Carson's Corner. And if you want to be part of the program, you can at 347-326-9749. That is 347-326-9749. Tomorrow in Newark, Delaware, we have the premiere of Diamond World Fights MMA Mega Mayhem on pay-per-view. This is going to be at the Bob Carpenter Center. This is going to be absolutely huge. I'm so excited about this. My friend Shannon the Cannon Rich is fighting in the main event for the heavyweight championship versus this guy who called into this program a couple weeks ago. His name is Michael Youngblood. And I got to be honest with you, I'm very skeptical of this guy. I don't like him. Okay? The way he came across, I was very unprofessional, very, very insulting. He insulted me. He insulted Shannon. And you know what? A lot of the things he said, I don't know. You have to verify this stuff. He said some things here that were not technically or accurate, not correct. He listed himself as 6'1". He's listed 6 foot. He talked about his wrestling pedigree and all of his time in the WWE. And you know what? I don't know. But what I do know is I want to see this fight card tomorrow. I will be covering it live. I will be going down there with my photographer and another audio specialist that works with Carson's Corner, and really my bodyguards. I need bodyguards there. I have people that are impersonating me at this venue. I've gotten a lot of people that have contacted me. I don't want to go into all that stuff, but I need people. I need protection, and I need access. And I got to tell you something, folks. I really got to tell you that this event here is well, is so far has been very, very well run. The people that are behind Diamond World Fights are professionals in the PR industry. They're very, very well known and very, very connected there in Delaware, and they know what they're doing. And I've been covering mixed martial arts since 2006, and I've been involved with the sport since 2000. I competed in the sport, and then I started covering it around 2005, 2006. And these guys are the best in terms of dealing with media. And I say these guys, I'm really talking about these gals, because Diamond World Fights is pretty much run by Gail Stallings Minor, who we've spoken about on this program before. She's a TV reporter, someone that has a podcast, is very, very personable, very, very likable, and very organized. And she has launched an independent PR firm, and she's involved with a whole bunch of things over there involving government functions in Delaware. You know, just to give you an idea, yesterday they had the weigh-ins. I wasn't able to make it to the weigh-ins. They had a meet and greet with the fighters, and Governor Carney was there. They got the governor, Governor Jay Carney, who I'm sure that they know down there over there in Delaware. You've got Antoinette Blake, who also is part of the PR team. She is just absolutely phenomenal, very thorough, very professional. This is very, very well run, and it's a pleasure to work with promoters that understand the PR aspect of it, understand the promotional aspect, and understand how to deal with the media, okay? Because a lot of these companies, a lot of these MMA promotions are horrendous when it comes to dealing with the media. They politicize it. They offer preferential treatment for some outlets, and you know, some of the other people that maybe are independent, you know, we get the short end of the stick a lot of times. You know, I can recall many times Bellator giving me a press pass and then reneging that at the last moment, or you know, saying that you're denying press applications. And I mean, I've had it for a long time. I was banned from Bellator for a while. I was banned from Bellator back in 2013 because I released the results of the Fightmaster reality show, which was a real disaster. And they banned me for a little while. Then they reinstated me. It's just, you know, you never know what you're getting with Bellator. DAZN, I could tell you, I've dealt with DAZN, and DAZN appears to be very, very good in terms of dealing with the press. We'll see what happens. But I have to give Diamond World Fights, their staff, a major thumbs up, a big thumbs up here for their efforts, for what they've been able to do. And I want to go over the fight card in a little while and break it down for you. I mean, some of these fighters you probably never heard of. Some of them maybe you have. I've heard of a few fighters on this card. I haven't heard of everybody on this card, I'll be honest with you. But I'm going to give my thoughts on some of the fights on this card. Also, you've got UFC 229 taking place Saturday, the big fight between Conor and Khabib. I want to talk about that card, but some interesting observations, some, as always, interesting analysis here on Carson's Corner about the fight and about what's going to happen and some of the buildup and, you know, just what it'll do in terms of pay-per-view numbers. I'll give my predictions. I'll talk about some of the lead-up to the fight, some of the press conference antics, and you know, all things Conor and Khabib. There's a lot of people interested in this fight, obviously. It's getting a lot of buzz, although, you know, you'd like to see them, you know, especially with the Conor McGregor fight. Typically, it takes about 6 to 8 weeks to promote a Conor McGregor fight. And, you know, they've maybe had 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks since they announced this. There hasn't been really that much domestic promotion for this. There was the one press conference with Conor McGregor and Khabib on the stage, you know, and then there's just the usual press tours and but there hasn't been major promotion. It hasn't seemed like there's been real major promotion of this event. And we'll talk about that more. Again, if you want to be a part of the program, you can call me at 347-326-9749. That is 347-326-9749. I want to say hello to the clowns over at the Underground Forum insulting me, as usual. What else is new here? There's nothing new. But in any event, so you got the Diamond World fights coming up. It's going to be on pay-per-view tomorrow. And this is going to be distributed on pay-per-view to over 100 million households in the United States and Canada. It's going to be available on your home computers, laptops, iPhones, iPads. I mean, fill in the blank. It's going to be produced in high definition and distributed by New York-based Multivision Media. And it should be a good production. I could tell you, I've never been to this venue before at the Bob Carpenter event, but it looks absolutely beautiful. It looks like a real beautiful event, a beautiful place to have a mixed martial arts event and whatnot. And the event is going to start tomorrow at 9 p.m. As I said, the main event is going to be Shannon the Cannon Rich versus Michael Youngblood. Now, I want to go over the card here first because there's a few names, as I said, that you know I recognize, and there's a few names that you know I don't know, and I guess I'll find out tomorrow. You know, you got Mike Brunzulis who's on this card, and Mike Brunzulis is a you know Bellator veteran. Okay, this is a guy. Who's a seasoned guy. He's fought a bunch of times. He's always in very, very good shape. And, you know, he comes to fight. There's no question about that. I believe he's of Greek descent. They call him the Greek assassin. Okay. Fighting out of Houston, Texas. And, you know, he's a journeyman. He's fought guys like Gerald Harris, lost the split decision to Gerald Harris about 5-6 years ago. Fought Joe Riggs, Josh Thompson, you know, and going back, I mean, his career stretches back 11 years, okay? And he's a decent fighter. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know who he's fighting. I mean, I don't have the fight card in front of me. I'm sure it's available somewhere. I'm actually trying to find it now as we speak, but I'd like to get an idea of who he's fighting. I don't know if I would recognize his opponent or not, but I will say that there's other fighters obviously on this card, and some of the other fighters are pretty interesting. There's one fighter out of Team Quest. Her name is Jessica Vandenberg. She is a training partner of Alima Leigh McFarlane, who is the Bellator flyweight champion, okay, 7-0, 8-0 in Bellator. And they fought, Jessica and Alima Leigh fought to a draw early in their careers, maybe a few years ago. And, or not Jessica, I'm sorry, Jackie, what am I saying? Interesting, there is some interesting things here about Jackie, and I'm not going to get into that. I may be able to get into that a little later on, or maybe tomorrow. But she trains at Team Quest, and I don't have her record listed on SureDog or any of the other sites. But I know that this is not her first MMA fight, and you know, I doubt it'll be her last. She's about 34, 35 years old, and she has some grappling experience, and I don't know. I'm assuming she's fighting this other fighter named Sheena Brandenburg. Or I have no idea, but I'm assuming that's who she's fighting. Then you've also got Steve McCabe, who's fighting on this card. Now, I recognize this gentleman. He previously fought out of the Fight Factory in Philadelphia, the legendary Fight Factory, you know, where you had guys like Eddie Alvarez come out of. You had guys like Frankie Edgar used to train there. Real hardcore gym that still probably exists, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, when I used to fight, we used to have guys from the Fight Factory all the time come down and fight in South Plainfield. And, you know, they are a top-notch school, one of the old-school MMA, you know, fighting gyms out there. You've also got Zach Makovsky. He's probably still fighting, you know, the Bellator fight. I don't know where he is now, but you know, it's you know, really, really a very, very good place. But you know, I don't even know if it's still open or not. I mean, I'm looking now online. I'm trying to find out more things or more information about this, and I don't see anything like a Fight Factory website or a team or whatnot. It's as if they friggin' disappear, which, again, it could or could not be the case. But, you know, yeah, I have an address now. I don't know if this is I have Fight Factory in Philadelphia, and there is no website. So I don't know how active this is. And I know at one point they were very, very well-known and turned a lot of fighters from that area, from the Philadelphia area, onto mixed martial arts. And, you had a lot of guys. Oh, God. Why am I drawing a blank on some? I mean, some of the more notable guys, as I said, Eddie Alvarez and Zach Makovsky. And I'm sure there are others that I'm forgetting. And so he's fighting Steve McCabe. He has fought some decent fighters. I mean, he's fought Frankie Edgar, Steve McCabe. He's fought a whole bunch of other people. I think he's got his record. I mean, according to Sherdog, and you could take what you want from it. His record is something like 7-21 or something, you know, and he's just a journeyman. He's a guy that, you know, has fought a lot of good guys. I mean, Josh LaBarge is a fighter I've seen out of, I believe, Connecticut, that area. I've seen him fight at a Bellator. Andy Main, Andrew Montanez, Frankie Edgar. All these guys are really, really tough guys and have been fighting for quite some time now. And so it's going to be interesting to see him fight. He's taking on Jonathan Cobb. Yeah, now I have the fight card information. Actually, this is on SureDog now, SureSlob, or whatever they call it. Yeah, okay. Now I have the fight card, and I can give a little information here now, okay? You have Mike Brunzulis taking on Marcus Gaines. This is going to be an interesting fight because both of these guys have a tremendous amount of fighting experience. Marcus Gaines at 15 wins and 28 losses, again, according to SureDog. Don't know much about Marcus Gaines, but you know, I'm looking at his record now. He lost to Tyson Jeffries. Tyson Jeffries is a very, very good fighter, also out of a Team Quest, I believe. And you know, nothing too notable in terms of his record. I don't see really any names aside from Tyson Jeffries that I kind of recognize here. And oh, he lost to Shannon Rich. Well, Shannon, that's a name. Jason Von Flew. Yeah, Matt Major. Yeah, his career spans back to 2006. So he's been in the game a long time and still relatively young at 32 years old. Been fighting for quite some time now. And he's going to have a tough fight against Mike Brunzulis there. As I said earlier, you have a female fight, Sheena Brandenburg versus Jackie Vandenberg. Wow, they almost have the same last names. Jackie Vandenberg is 0-2. Both these fighters are 0-2. And they fight out of, or she fights out of California. Now, when you say that somebody has a 0-2 record, you think, oh, that person's not that good. But actually, all of her losses have been via decision. And she was undefeated as an amateur. And her last loss was in Bellator. So she's fought for Bellator, and she fought a fighter whose last name I can't pronounce, but I know who she is because Vida, blah, 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 Ortega, lost, you know, recently, actually fought last week on Bellator and the McKee card. And she lost, and she also fought Emily Ducote and lost, she beat Emily Ducote. And, so she's got a lot of experience. So certainly it's no shame in losing to her at all. Aside from that, she won all of her amateur fights, and that's it. And she lost her two professional fights. You also have on this card, let's see here. Well, there's not that many fights on this card. You've only got a few fights on this card. Jonathan Cobb versus Steve McCabe, as I mentioned. Jonathan Cobb, I don't know much about him. He's 4-1. Oh, by the way, let's go back to Jackie. Let's just say that I'm a big fan of hers. And I'm just going to say, ladies and gentlemen, you can draw whatever inferences you want out of this, but I have actually a couple of her videos. She's a very, very good grappler. I will say that, ladies and gentlemen. And you know that Bob Carson likes a good female grappler. I just do. There's just no question about it. Okay? Something I've always enjoyed there. Jonathan Cobb doesn't have really that impressive of a record in terms of people he's fought. Okay? He was 0-3 as an amateur, and then now he's 4-1 as a professional. And so he's taking on Steve McCabe, the much more experienced fighter. And then you've got Brandon Davis, who is a big-time wrestler. Very interesting story there. I believe he's fighting out of Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken. But, Brandon Davis, who has an amateur record of 3 wins and 1 loss. And, you know, if you go to Diamond World Fights, if you go to their website at diamondworldfights.com, you can get more information about Brandon the Black Panther Davis. I like that nickname. Real interesting stuff there. He's got interesting story. From what I understand, he grew up in an area infested with gangs, and his father turned him on to wrestling. And, you know, here he is, you know, making MMA a career and going forward in the sport. He's fighting a New Jersey native, Matt Lyle, who, again, I'm not familiar at all. Actually, no, Matt is from Michigan. But for some reason, I believe, no, he doesn't. I thought he was from New Jersey. He may reside in New Jersey. But I don't know anything about Matt at all. And I guess we'll find out exactly, you know, how he is and if he's up to par, if he's up to the challenge of fighting Brandon Davis tomorrow at Diamond World Fights Mega Mayhem 2018. Supposedly, Aleah McFarlane is there. She's probably, if I had to guess, going to be coaching her teammate Jackie Vandenberg, and that should be pretty interesting. And so maybe we'll get a chance to talk to her and interview her. I believe Aleah McFarlane has Valerie Letourneau next on her plate. Now there's also an interesting fellow there. Who is actually a trainer at the 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu out there in California. And Alimale's coach and Jackie's coach is a guy named Manolo Hurricane Hernandez. Very interesting guy. I don't know if you guys watch the Invicta cards when you have Invicta. I watch every Invicta event, okay? No matter how over-emotional the women get there. I always watch Invicta. I always make time for it. This is the guy that trains Pearl Gonzalez, and this is the guy that always comes out in like these weird costumes and like these, you know, these goofy gimmicks. He's kind of an interesting guy, this guy. I've seen him a little bit on Instagram. Heavy set fella, but Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt and Muay Thai guy. He's a very, very interesting fella. And so maybe we'll interview him. Maybe we'll find out what's going on with some of his fighters there. Like I said, you know, Pearl Gonzalez is now in Invicta, doing very well there. And, of course, Salim Alay is doing very well in Bellator, you know, fighting the competition there and winning. And fighting in very, very exciting fights. And hopefully she'll be fighting in Hawaii. I know that the Bellator is considering having a show there in Hawaii, and it should be pretty fun. So maybe we'll get the chance to talk to them. I definitely want to talk to Gail, because Gail Stallings Minor is the first African-American promoter in the sport of mixed martial arts, and that's huge. That really is, because to my knowledge, you just don't see many African-American promoters in the sport, and it's good. And I'm telling you, as I said earlier, folks, these folks over at Diamond World Fights, they are as good as they come at social media and getting the word out. And the promotion I've seen for this event is better than I've seen at Ring of Combat. A Ring of Combat is a bigger promotion, obviously. I mean, the Ring of Combat, which I fought for, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Ring of Combat actually has more fighters that passed through their ranks and fought on to the UFC than any other promotion out there. They've been holding events, God, for probably maybe, you know, 14 or 15 years, okay? It was 14 years since I fought there. And I was arbitrarily suspended after that fight. But I got to tell you, they're horrible with the media. As much as I support them, Ring of Combat is the worst when it comes to media. I covered a couple of their events, and there's just no social media presence. It's like the dinosaurs over at HBO Boxing. By the way, the great one, Eddie Goldman, we call him the great one around here. He wrote an article for Deadspin about how HBO was bad for boxing. First person that I've seen in the combat sports media that has said that HBO is bad for boxing, because these other clowns in the media, they don't want to badmouth, you know, HBO or any of its commentators, because there's, you know, a buddy-buddy relationship within that industry. But Eddie Goldman, if you get a chance, he took a shot at Max Kellerman, took a shot at Jim Lampley, was great, and brought up some things, how they deal with the media, how the folks over at HBO, they're dinosaurs, you know, they're not really in tune to the digital age. Eddie made a lot of great points, as usual, in his article. Eddie Goldman, the great one, ladies and gentlemen, the host of No Holds Barred podcast. Eddie invented the MMA media, as far as I'm concerned. He's the first guy, going back to 2001, and maybe even before that, with the IATA network, put on by Bob Meyerowitz. And it's just Eddie Goldman, ladies and gentlemen. Still kicking, Eddie. Still alive, barely. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have an update on Eddie's medical. I talked to Eddie. Usually talk to Eddie about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes, but, he's still kicking. He's got a really, really good article there on Deadspin. And I like Deadspin. Deadspin's not afraid to post opinions that rock the boat. They're not afraid to host against the grain guys, you know, guys like Eddie Goldman or Mike Russell, even myself for that matter. They're not afraid of the political pressure brought on to them by the UFC, or any one of these, you know, these hacks maybe that work for other organizations. But going back to Diamond World Fights, as I said, this is run very, very professionally, and they've done more in terms of promotion, more in terms of social media outreach than major promotions that they're competing. So I told them yesterday that I believe in this product, and I'll be covering them as long as I can. and I hope to see a second event. I hope this event does very, very well. I wish them a lot of luck because they seem to be doing things the right way. You know, they seem to be making the right choices and just a matter of building up their brand and attracting fighters and you know, going from there. I mean, these guys have everything down pat, I could tell you, you know, and it's going to be a pleasure. It's going to be an absolute pleasure to hear or to cover this event tomorrow. I would take a lot of pictures, take some videos. Maybe I'll have to slap a few people around. I don't know. Anybody gets in my way, anybody messes with me, they're going to have a problem, okay? I got two big guys that are going to be accompanying me, all right? So please, you clowns. There's one guy impersonating me. There's one guy that's going to these meet and greets that apparently is referring to himself as Bob Carson, the media member and podcaster, and that's not true. Another thing that I'm not sure what's going on, but Shannon the Cannon Rich, when Shannon the Cannon Rich was on this program a couple weeks ago, he was talking about HBO doing a documentary on him. Now the HBO film crew was going to finish this documentary on him October 5th during the his fight versus Michael Youngblood. I don't know if that's happening or not, because I would assume that, you know, with all the social media posting that the folks over at Diamond World Fights are doing, that you'd have, you know, pictures of the HBO. I don't know what's going on with that. I'll find out tomorrow for sure, okay, because this will be the first time that I'll actually see Shannon Rich in person. And it's an honor. It really is. I've known Shannon since 2006. He's a good guy. He's helped me out a lot. He's given me a lot of stories over the years, and he's well liked, and he's slandered by clowns like Puke Thomas, who had the temerity to say that he took 1,000 dives during his career. Just disgusting. He's slandered by the clowns on the MMA underground forum. I got a text here. So is this from Gail? I'm trying to get Gail on the program. It's short notice, but So you know, Shannon the Cannon Rich just gets slandered and insulted by clowns like Puke Thomas. Puke Thomas. What an embarrassment, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to meet him tomorrow. I'll interview him. I want him to win. I'll be honest with you. I don't like this guy, Michael Youngblood. I'm not a fan of his. He was very insulting to me, very dismissive of me, ladies and gentlemen. He had a real bad attitude on this program, and I'm not interested. I want Shannon to win. Is Shannon going to win? I don't know. You know, Shannon has over 150 fights. We've spoken about his career at length here on this program, and it's anybody's guess as to whether or not he's going to win. But I want to see him win. I'd like to see him shut this guy up, okay? Both these guys are well into their 40s. This guy, Michael Youngblood, I've seen him listed at 42, 43 years old. Shannon is 48, 49. Shannon's probably about 48. Shannon's about 10 years older than me. And this guy, Michael Youngblood, you say what you want. He's in shape. He has some sort of grappling, some sort of wrestling background. Again, we don't know this. There's nothing. There hasn't been anything confirmed on this yet. Okay, but you know, nonetheless, it should be. I'm hoping it's a good fight, and I'm hoping that my buddy Shannon the Cannon Rich comes out victorious there. All right, moving on now to UFC 229. Have you guys been watching the embedded? Really interesting stuff there. I like to watch the embedded series because I think it's a good series that the UFC puts out on YouTube there. Who knows what's going to happen to it when they go on to ESPN. Who knows? But I think it's a really good behind-the-scenes type of docuseries that the UFC does. That features their fighters and gives us an idea of what's going on. You know, I'm just interested. I saw some, You know, when Stipe fought Daniel Cormier and Stipe lost, I knew he was going to lose that fight because his wife was just so seemingly overbearing. You know, she was ordering him to build a crib or build a carriage or build something before his fight with Daniel Cormier, and he gets knocked out. You know, I think these guys, some of these MMA fighters, I think these guys should just get away from their families. You know, maybe it's best for them if they have training camps away from their wife or their kids. You know, you look at a guy like Weidman. Weidman has, what, 3 or 4 kids? Come on. I mean, I'm not saying you can't do it. I mean, there have certainly been fighters that have trained with children and trained, you know, still being the father, whatever the hell they are. But come on. You know, you have to admit that it can be a detriment. Can be a detriment to fighters. And so, now, just some observations here that I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about the whole card. We only got about 25 minutes left here on the show. But, you know, everybody's talking about the main event. This is what everybody wants to see. You've got Khabib, who's 26-0, and Conor. I don't know what his record is, but Conor hasn't fought in almost 2 years. But Conor has taken out world champions, and Conor is the real deal. I'm a big fan of Conor McGregor's. I really am. I like the way he promotes. I mean, look, it's you know, it's trashy, and some of the racist things he said, I acknowledge that. But I think overall I get a kick out of him. I like watching him. I mean, he's a great fighter. And I think that there's a good chance he's going to win this fight. I think a lot of people out there, even though the odds say otherwise, are picking Khabib. I think Conor's going to win because I think Khabib is horrendous. I say horrendous, but he's not good at taking fighters down from the outside. Khabib has a very, very low percentage of takedowns from the outside. Now, when Khabib fought Al Iaquinta, he only landed a few takedowns in that fight. And you can go back to the fight before that versus Edson Barbosa. I mean, you could just go back and you could see that, you know, from the outside, he's not. Now, if he gets inside, then he has a higher percentage of takedowns. Is he going to be able to get inside of Conor? You know, Conor's great striking style. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. And the other thing about Khabib that you can't deny, and you look at his fights, look at him versus Al Iaquinta, look at the fight especially against Michael Johnson, and look at the fight against Edson. He gets hit a lot. There's no question about that. I mean, he could take a punch. He's got a chin, Khabib, but he gets hit a lot. And with Conor McGregor, you know, he has world-class power. He's probably, I think, the best striker in mixed martial arts right now. I think Conor McGregor is the best knockout artist in MMA. He's got a great, great style. And, you know, the only thing that would make me think that this is going to be a competitive fight, and again, we all could be wrong. You know, nobody, look, I don't care what they say. Look at someone like Puke Thomas. He's an authority on MMA. Everybody's an authority on MMA. Yeah, right. These guys are probably right 30% of the time with their picks. It's a very unpredictable sport, mixed martial arts. You never know. I don't know. You know, I you know how many times I've picked a fighter and I've been wrong. It's almost meaningless for commentators to do it. You know, for anybody to pick a fight, you could have an opinion on who you might win, but you know, you're going to be wrong at least half of the time, which is why it's an exciting sport, which is part of the reason why, you know, we watch this sport. But you know, Khabib could win for sure. But the thing is that Khabib has no submission game. He has wrestling, he has ground and pound, and he mixes it very, very well. And he's an overall good fighter, but he's not a submission guy. He's not that good in jiu-jitsu. Because if he was, he'd get guys out of there more often. If he would just learn jiu-jitsu more. I'm sure he trains jiu-jitsu, but, you know, it almost seems like he's just stubbornly attached to his wrestling and his takedowns. And again, he mixes ground and pound phenomenal. He's got the heart, Khabib. Khabib has arguably, I think, you know, more heart than Connor does. And I don't mean that as a slap in the face to Connor, not saying he doesn't have heart, but, you know, Khabib, this is a guy who has fights and is very, very active. He's fought three times, I think, in the last year or so, last 9 months. And you get the feeling with Khabib, and Javier Mendez has said this before, that with Khabib, you have to kill him to beat him. Okay, I know that's a bit of a cliche, but it's true. You like, if you get him in a choke, you have to choke him unconscious. He's not going to tap. His training partners never tap him out. He never gets knocked out. You know, I'm not saying he can't. Connor can knock him out for sure. So this is the thing that makes it an intriguing matchup, is because all of these things that I talk about, Khabib with cardio. His cardio is always phenomenal. He's always in great shape. If I had to guess, he'd have no problem making the weight tomorrow. He gets a little bit, you know, ornery when he gets close to weigh-ins, but guess what? You know, he looked fine yesterday at the open workout, and I think both these guys are going to make weight. I think this fight is actually going to happen, because that's part of the unpredictability of MMA, is that you never know. You know, so many fight cancellations, so many people backing out. And so that's what makes this fight a real intriguing fight. Now, if I'm the UFC, if I'm part of the executive staff there at WMEIMG, you definitely want Conor McGregor to win. The UFC needs Conor McGregor to win here, because if he does win, there's so many fights out there for him to have. I mean, he could fight Nate Diaz again, which I don't care. I don't care about Nate Diaz. Let Nate Diaz fight at 165 pounds. I'm just sick of the Diaz brothers. He could fight Tony. That'd be a great fight. You wouldn't want to see Conor versus Tony. The nut job Tony is. Tony's really a crazy guy. Even Kevin Lee, Jose Aldo, Jose Aldo. I mean, fill in the blank, folks. There's so many fights for Conor McGregor. If Khabib wins tomorrow, who's he? I mean, there are fights for him, but Khabib is not an exciting fighter. He's not the draw that Conor McGregor is. And you're not going to sell, you know, you're not going to sell a million pay-per-view buys. You're not even going to sell 500,000 with Khabib as the main event. It's just not going to happen. Again, you know, people are intrigued by a championship belt. People are intrigued by the undefeated record, but it's the fighting style. It's the character. It's the, you know, it's the aura. It's the it factor that Conor McGregor has that, you know, nobody else has. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And so if you're the UFC, you got to really, really want Conor to win. I think it would be better for the sport overall if Conor does win, you know, because of the fan attraction and all that stuff. And you know what? Who knows? If they fight and it's a close fight, you may have a rematch. So there's a lot of potential. If Conor loses tomorrow, it's still not the end of the road. I mean, obviously, he's still going to be a draw. But you lose in this sport a lot. Not that he's lost a lot, but if you lose, you know, he's 30 years old now, you lose your drawing power. You know, it's just the bottom line. I mean, Conor McGregor loses another two or three fights. Guess what? You know, you're not going to get those million-dollar pay-per-views. He wins tomorrow. If he knocks out Khabib, he's going to be an infamy. And you can't dismiss it. You can't say that he's ducked people and he's not great. I mean, you got to give him credit. You know, I was talking to somebody at work today who was bagging Conor for his fight against Floyd Mayweather, saying, "You know, Conor." He looked terrible, and Floyd carried him. Let me tell you something. Conor McGregor did better against Floyd Mayweather than just about anybody that Floyd Mayweather's fought. You know, Madonna, Mosley, Ortiz. He landed a lot more shots, and nobody expected him to win that fight. But he fought. He made a lot of money, and a lot of people watched that, and he did well. He exceeded certainly my expectations. You know, you can't take anything away from Conor. The UFC needs him because he is the last remaining pay-per-view draw that they have, and it'll be good. It'll be good if he wins. So, you know, we'll see. But I think he's going to be I think the odds are going to be tightening up as the Irish money comes in, and it'll be it'll be much closer to fight time. Or much closer as we approach fight time, ladies and gentlemen. We got some decent cards or decent fights on this card. It's not the best card. I mean, I got to tell you, I think people are over exaggerating solidness, or that's not a word, but you know what I'm saying. They're over excited for this card. They're making it seem as if it is. The end-all, be-all in terms of cards. Let's start at the early prelims. Now there's the early prelims, the prelims, and the main card. It's 17 hours. If you look at the, I don't know if the prelims are going to be – although prelims are going to be on Fight Pass, which is good because Fight Pass is back-to-back fights. They don't screw around. There's not a million commercials like is the case on Fox Sports 1. There's not this filler time that they have. It's back-to-back, which is good. You've got Ryan LaFlair versus Tony Martin. I don't care. I guess Ryan LaFlair will win. You've got Gray Maynard. How old is Gray Maynard? He's got to be close to 40 years old. He's still fighting? Gray Maynard fighting Nick Lentz. I don't care. Nick Lentz will probably win. You've got Lena Landsberg versus Yana Kunitskaya. That's going to be a close fight. I'd probably have to pick. That's a pick-up fight. I'd probably pick Lena Landsberg. Yana is, she fought Cyborg in her last fight, and prior to that she lost to Tanya Evinger, who's also on this card, is fighting Aspen Ladd. Remember, I made a thread about Aspen Ladd, how I hated Aspen Ladd, and I got I do hate Aspen Ladd. I hate Aspen Ladd, ladies and gentlemen, because her last fight she made this obnoxious psychotic moaning sound when she was striking her opponent. I think she forced the referee to prematurely stop that fight. And plus, she's not independent. She's a young girl. She's 23. I think she still lives at home. And you know what? Come on. I lived with my parents until I was 27. But now this is the day and age. You got to get out of your house. You got to be able to make decisions and run your own life outside of the supervision of your parents. And she's obsessed with her dogs. She's always walking her dogs somewhere in Colorado, one of these places. I don't know where she's from. But she's fighting Tanya. Tanya's 37 years old. But Tanya has a good record, actually. She's 19-5, which is a very, very good record for a female fighter. And she really has run the gamut in terms of fights that she's fought and women that she's fought. Fighting Cyborg. I was there when she fought Cyborg at UFC 214, and it was good. She did nobody wanted to fight Cyborg, especially at 145, and nobody wants to fight Cyborg in general. And Tanya hung in there. Tanya's tough, even though she could be very, very classless, I think, on Instagram, giving the finger to the camera, posting all sorts of the sexual stuff there. Tanya needs to show some respect here, okay? I don't want to see that. I want to see athletes remain professional. Sergio Pettis is fighting on this card. He's fighting on the same card as his brother. That's pretty cool. I think he's going to do very well against Jussie Formiga. I think Sergio should win. There's another fight I don't care. Vicente Luque versus Jalen Turner. I don't care about that fight. I don't know why it's on this card. And you've got the main card now. Tony Ferguson versus Anthony Pettis. I talk about Tony. Tony's just he's really, really been on a tear. His fighting's beating of Kevin Lee, Barboza, Rafael dos Anjos, Landon Venata, Kurt Cobain. I'm just kidding. Never fought Kurt Cobain. But Tony Ferguson, he's really nasty. I don't know what his deal is. He's a crazy guy. I really think he has a lot of mental issues. As if MMA fighters don't have mental issues. I mean, look at someone like Cowboy Cerrone. I mean, Jesus, the guy he's suicidal, for crying out loud. Maybe even homicidal too, Cowboy. I mean, every MMA fighter does. They all have screws loose in their heads. No question about it. Chuck Liddell said that years ago. But Tony is like really just unpredictable. He's volatile with the media, and he seems agitated. I'm intrigued by this fight because Anthony Pettis looked very good against Michael Chiesa, and Anthony Pettis has the potential to win this fight. You know, he's not out of this fight. Anthony Pettis is inconsistent. He's spoken about how mentally he hasn't been there in certain fights. He's been weak mentally, but he still is a world-class fighter, and Anthony Pettis could potentially beat anybody on any day. And he has a positive attitude, Anthony, seemingly, likable guy. And Tony, on the other hand, is probably going to be bigger. Tony's going to have better wrestling, I think, than Anthony Pettis. And striking is kind of a toss-up. But I think Tony, mentally, as crazy as Tony is outside, Tony is a mentally tough fighter. And you know, sometimes you can win fights with mental toughness. I often think during my own fight career, ladies and gentlemen, that if Bob Carson was able to display mental toughness, I could have made it to the UFC. I could have beaten some of these guys. I'm telling you, I had no mental toughness. I was mentally defeated before I fought, and I had no support from my team. You know, Dan used to insult me. Dan used to, he would never corner me. Dan never cornered me. I never had any corners. I think Daryl cornered. I never had any cornermen. I don't think I ever had any cornermen. It was just me by myself. Those Dan Bama guys and Dan Mergliotta, those guys, they were alpha males, and they didn't respect me. They threw me in there versus anybody, and they didn't support me. They didn't build me up. Tony has the mental toughness. You can't deny that. He's a great fighter. And, he still carries his championship belt around him. Another fight that I'm looking forward to, you got Dominic Reyes, who's a hot prospect. Dominic Reyes is just going through the competition. He's fighting Oben St. Preux, and this is a good test for him. If he wins, then you know what? Listen, the light heavyweight has a contender there, young, hot prospect, and Dominic Reyes. I think we'll learn a lot from this fight. He could either knock this guy out of OSP or get submitted. You know, that's how I see this fight going. I don't know. You know, I really don't know. But I am intrigued by the heavyweight fight between Derek Lewis and Alexander Volkov, because I think Volkov's going to win this fight. I think Volkov is a bruiser, and Volkov is a very, very dangerous striker. He's just somebody that, he's just 6'7", in great shape, always good wrestling defense, good everywhere. And, when he hits you, he leaves a mark. And I don't think Derek Lewis is going to be able to deal with him. I think Volkov knocks him out. In fact, if I was a betting man, I'm probably the most confident in this fight here that Volkov is going to win, because Volkov has looked great. He looked great against Verdum. Derek Lewis, it's not that he looked bad. I mean, he didn't do anything versus Ngannou. That was a terrible fight. Lewis, I think he's got a puncher's chance, and he'll always be in the fight as long as the fight's happening. But I think Volkov picks him apart, and I think Volkov gets a TKO. There's a women's strawweight fight, and I got to tell you, I can't stand this Felice Herrig. She's always taking pictures of her. I mean, this lady, I'm telling you, she's probably taken a million selfies of herself every day. I mean, what is wrong with these women? What is wrong with you where you got to take a million selfies of yourself? You got to take 100 ab shots, 100? Come on. I mean, there's something. She needs to see a psychiatrist, a sports psychiatrist or something, because there's something fundamentally wrong with this lady. There's not something that's just not right with her. I want to see Michelle Waterson win. I think Michelle Waterson is, by and large, a good role model, although, some of her teammates, hopefully some of the behavior that you see from a John Jones or Mike Perry or Holly Holm doesn't rub off on her. I think that, Michelle Waterson should win this fight, and I hope she does. It'll be a real, real good thing if she does. All right, we got about 6 minutes. Wow, this hour went by very, very quickly, huh? Can you believe that, folks? I'm off the next 2 days. I'm off from two of my jobs. I work two jobs, folks. I mean, are you kidding me? This is just a disgrace. But it's what is needed. It's what is needed for survival under the system here. So I'll be able to get the cover the Diamond World fights. Expect some YouTube videos because I got a photographer and I got a cameraman with me here. It's going to be great. I hope to speak to some of the people we've talked about. I hope to get Shannon to speak to him. And maybe we'll get Alimaleh, Gail, Antoinette, and maybe some other fighters on the card. We'll see what happens, folks. Okay, and maybe we'll get Jackie Vandenberg. And maybe we'll get her to put me in a... Never mind. Okay. so we're just about out of time here. We've got about 5 minutes here. What else am I going to talk about here? I'm getting hungry, folks. I haven't eaten. And I'm trying to get on a diet now. I'm trying to get on this Eat Clean, Bro. Because I've eaten better over the last week or so. I haven't had any fried food. Haven't had any McDonald's, any cheeseburgers. I haven't clogged up my arteries, okay? And my blood pressure is a little bit lower. I have high blood pressure, as you can imagine. I have a little bit of a weight problem, folks, as you can imagine. All right? Like John Candy in Stripes. I don't know if you noticed, but I have a little bit of a weight problem, okay? I've had it for a long time. I'm an athletic guy. But, you know, who doesn't like to eat? Who doesn't like to indulge themselves in this sea of alienation that we have in this system? And I lowered my blood pressure. I took it yesterday at Walmart, and it was 86 over 150, which I was very proud of that number because I've been at 160 over 100. My highest blood pressure reading one time was 170 over 120. And a lot of times these machines are off. You know, you go to the doctor's office, it's off. But I've been eating better, and I've been drinking less caffeine, and I feel a little bit better, okay, because I'm a ticking time bomb. I'll probably wind up dying tomorrow. There's no question about that. And I'm trying to get on this Eat Clean, Bro, because I was on this Eat Clean, Bro before, and they deliver good meals. It's not too expensive, and it's real gourmet stuff. It's real, real good. Real good food. Now, I was supposed to pick it up today, but I had to go to work early today, and I couldn't pick it up. So maybe I'll pick it up tomorrow, and I'll start on a new diet, folks. A new diet, a new way, a new beginning here for Bob Carson, trying to lose some weight now, okay? Not ashamed of it. Not ashamed of myself. I don't lie to myself or other people about my weight and my health problems and my obesity. I live with it every day. You know, I watch videos. I try to motivate myself because at the end of the day, it's only you that can motivate you. I know it's a cliche and everybody talks about, you know, but it's true, especially with food addiction. It's the most difficult addiction to give up because you have to eat. You don't have to take a bag of heroin, but you've got to eat. And that's, you know, the hard part is what do you eat? You know, that's it. So I'm trying to do that, trying to lose a little weight here. Same old, same old. Nothing surprising there. But, I encourage you to check out Diamond World Fights tomorrow. Go to diamondworldfights.com for information on this fight card and how you can order it. And if you're in Delaware, you're in the Delaware area, stop by. You know, buy a ticket. It's going to be a good event. It's a great venue. It really is. And these folks here at Diamond World Fights have really, really done a good job. I wish there was a little more fights on this card, but, hopefully we'll see some action tomorrow. And hopefully Shannon will have his hand raised. Shannon the Cannon, ladies and gentlemen. Shannon the Cannon Rich from Arizona. Multi-time kickboxing MMA champion. Fill in the blank, ladies and gentlemen. Just fill in the blank. That is Shannon the Cannon Rich here. He's going to be there tomorrow at the Bob Carpenter Center. They should name it the Bob Carson Center. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to friend me on Facebook, please do so at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. You could follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And make sure to check us out on Blog Talk Radio here, blogtalkradio.com. /Carson's Corner. Also visit my YouTube page, youtube.com/Carson's Corner. We'll have some interviews and some footage up from Diamond World Fights tomorrow. So it's going to be fun, folks. Stay tuned. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.